الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين. اللهم لك الحمد وإليك المشتكى وعليك التكلان، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأن تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته ودعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. إن شاء الله تعالى I start by praising Allah Almighty and sending blessings and salutations upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our weekly lessons, whether it is this one where we go through the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah or the other weekly lessons that are happening in this masjid, inshallah ta'ala, from now on will be happening after Maghrib. I mean, we still can't come to the masjid, but for those of you that are following from home, due to the time change, they will be happening after Maghrib now, inshallah. This is our regular tafsir lesson, of course. We were going through the story of the Bani Israel in Surah Al-Baqarah. And last time, we spoke about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed Bani Israel over and over again. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us, وَفَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, when Allah tells them, and I have preferred you over all of the other alameen, all of the other people. And then Allah mentions all of the blessings He gave them in detail. Last time we mentioned how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to the Bani Israel, He of course saved them from the Pharaoh, from Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the Torah, the sea split open so that they can be saved. They were forgiven over and over again, even though they committed some heinous acts. They said some blasphemous statements. They were disrespectful to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. They asked things they shouldn't be asking, and they actually committed shirk. And throughout all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept on forgiving them. And this is part of some of the blessings that they were given. And every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would treat them kindly and with mercy, and they would then in turn commit an act of sin, or they would say a blasphemous statement. And this was their legacy that Allah tells us about. These were the kind of people they were, and this is what Prophet Musa had to deal with. We talked about how they were even told to enter into Jerusalem with humility and humbleness, and they didn't do that. They were told to say, Hittah, O Allah, forgive our sins. And they didn't do that. They took it as a mockery and changed the word they were supposed to say. All of this is happening. And also, we spoke about the 40 years of wandering that they were in, the Tih, how although they were in a state of wandering and they would never be able to settle down in that state as a punishment for not entering into the city that was promised to them, Qudus, they were still being given mercy by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as what Allah says, وَظَلَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامِ. During the time of wandering, Allah shaded them with clouds. وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنِ, and we sent down for you al-man, which we said was a sweet substance that they were eating that was like honey, and also as-salwa, which was a type of bird meat that they had. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving them al-man wa salwa, a type of food that they did not need to work for. They didn't need to farm or hunt. It would just come to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that He shaded them with these clouds. All of these are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did these blessings stop? No. As we continue today, ayah 60 in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرَ فَانْفَجَرَتْ مِنْهُ 12 عَيْنًا قَدْ عَلِمَ كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ مَشْرَبَهُمْ كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْثَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى, أي وَذْكُرْ, إِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى, and remember and mention, when Musa asked Allah سبحانه وتعالى for rain, for water. When Musa asked for water for his people, لِقَوْمِهِ, the word istisqa in this verse, وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى, istisqa is when we ask Allah for rain. The act of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain is known as istisqa, أي طَلَبُ الْمَاء, seeking water, of course, rainwater. And we as Muslims have even a prayer called Salatul Istisqa. When there is a drought, it is recommended for us to pray what is known as Salatul Istisqa, because the rain is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sometimes this stops due to our sins, and we have to repent to Allah. This is why when we are praying what is known as the rainfall prayer or the istisqa, we pray it just like the Eid prayer. The people go out and they make istighfar. They ask Allah to forgive them, forgive their sins. That what they are recommended to do is forgive each other. If they have oppressed one another, to give back. If they stole, to ask each other to forgive, so that harmony can come back to us, and maybe Allah will bring back rain. So this is known as Salatul Istisqa. Here you have Musa alayhi salam, and again, the context is, this is during the time of wandering. So the food was taken care of through the men and the salwa. They had this sweet substance that they were drinking or eating, and they had the bird meat that Allah was giving them as salwa, something that was easy for them, and there was nothing involved for them to seek it out. It was coming to them. And also, they were shaded. But of course, when you eat, you also need to drink. So here, Musa is saying, asking Allah, oh Allah, give us water. وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى, and remember when Musa asked Allah for water, لِقَوْمِهِ, for his people. فَقُلْنَا, and then we said to him, Allah says, اِضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرِ, hit your staff or your stick on the stone. And once he did that, فَانْفَجَرَتْ مِنْهُ اثْنَتَا عَشْرَةَ عَيْنًا, and water gushed forth from it, 12 عَيْنًا, 12 springs gushed from this stone. 12 springs. قَدْ عَلِمَ كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ مَشْرَبَهُمْ, every people, every group of people, or every tribe knew which spring they were drinking from. كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا, then Allah said to them, eat and drink, مِنْ رِزْقِ اللَّهِ, from the provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَعْثَوْا, and do not be overly corrupt. فِي الْأَرْضِ, on the earth, مُفْسِدِينَ, while causing mischief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, so what we learn from this ayah is, Musa asks Allah for rain for his people because they need to drink. Then Allah tells him to hit your staff with a rock. And then immediately, water starts gushing from it, 12 springs. Why 12? Because there were 12 tribes. There were 12 tribes that was with Musa alayhi salam from the Banu Israel. And each tribe was given a particular spring that they could drink from. And there's a great hikmah in this, because if it was only one spring and there are 12 tribes, there is a possibility that they might fight over it. And this is why that among the wisdoms behind this, that now every tribe had their own place to drink from. قَدْ عَلِمَ كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ مَشْرَبَهُمْ. There are many fawaid that we can learn from this ayah. Number one, Musa asks Allah for rain, and Allah, or he asks Allah for water, I should say, and Allah tells him, istisqa is usually when we ask Allah for water, but in this context, he asked Allah for water, and Allah said to him, hit your staff on this rock. This was the staff that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed many miracles through. It is the staff that would turn into a snake. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى. It is the staff that he hit with it when the sea split open. This is a staff that showed many, many miracles, including when the magicians challenged Musa and تَلْقَفُ مَا يَأْفِكُونَ. So it ate everything that they were creating and their lies as well. So it was a miraculous staff that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Musa alayhi salam. And we first come across it when Allah asks Musa about it, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُوشُ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى in Surah Al-Taha. Anyway, what we learn from this verse is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a miraculous way is giving these people water. So as they are traveling and wandering in the desert, they have this rock with them. And some of the scholars said it was any rock. Others said, no, it was a particular rock that they would carry with them. And whenever they need water, Musa would hit it and then water would come. The other thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah, فَانْفَجَرَتْ, the water gushed, it poured. But in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah says, فَانْبَجَسَتْ. And there is a farq, al-inbijas is not al-infijar. So why did Allah say فَانْبَجَسَتْ in Surah Al-A'raf and فَانْفَجَرَتْ in Surah Al-Baqarah, although we're talking about the same incident? Because in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, we told Musa to hit his staff with the rock and then it started leaking or dripping water. Here it says, we told Musa to hit the rock with the staff, and then water gushed forth. So why did it drip or did it gush forth? The scholars, they say, one is talking about the beginning and the other is talking about towards the end. That first, the water came dripping. And then it started increasing, increasing, and then it started gushing forth. So, فَنْبَجَسَتْ and فَنْفَجَرَتْ طَيِّبْ. So, وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ when Musa asked water for his people, فَقُلْنَا ضُرِبِّ عَصَاكَ الْحَجَرِ and then Allah said, we said to Musa, hit your staff with the rock. فَنْفَجَرَتْ مِنْهُ 12 عَيْنًا and from it gushed forth 12 springs. قَدْ عَلِمَ كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ مَشْرَبَهُمْ each group of people knew its own place for water. And then Allah said, Kulu, eat. Eat from what? Eat from the man and the salwa that we spoke about last time. Eat from the man and the salwa. The sweet substance and the bird meat that Allah was providing for you. Washrubu and drink from this water that is coming from this rock. Wala ta'athaw fil ardi mufsidin and do not be corrupt. Al-athu, the scholars say, is al-shiddatul fasad. It is, don't become increasingly corrupt or very corrupt. Fil ardi on the earth mufsidina while you are causing mischief. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another thing about Banu Israel. So now we know another blessing, right? We know another blessing, which is what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them an endless supply of water. Now you can imagine people that are wandering and traveling, water is of extreme necessity, but Allah blessed them. طيب. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَنْ نَصْبِرَ عَلَى طَعَامٍ Verse 61. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَنْ نَصْبِرَ عَلَى طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ Now that we know that Allah was giving them al-man and al-salwa, and we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for them this supply from this rock of water, which is of course miraculous, how was the reaction of the Banu Israel? Were they grateful? Were they thankful? No. No, they were not. And ikhwani wa akhwati fillah, my brothers and sisters, it's extremely important that you understand how as Muslims we should act with regards to the blessings Allah gives us. Be thankful and be grateful. And you show gratitude first by your speech by saying, Oh Allah, I recognize you have given this to me. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. Ashukurillah, I thank Allah and all gratitude we give to Allah Almighty. Then, what happens if you do that? Allah says in the Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you show gratitude, then I will give you more. وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ And if you are ungrateful, then indeed the punishment of Allah is severe. طيب. So, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَنَصْبِرَ عَلَى طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ And remember, when you said, Oh Musa, now look at this. The people that are speaking are the Banu Israel. They are speaking to their prophet Musa. And what are they calling him? Ya Musa. Hey Musa. Oh Musa. And this is su'u adab. This is not the way of a believer. You do not talk to a prophet. And you do not call a prophet by his name. You call him by his title. Ya Rasulallah. Ya Nabiyallah. This is what you do. Look at the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how they spoke to the Prophet. Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah. Ya Nabiyallah, O Prophet of Allah. This is what they would say to him. Never would they call him with his name because if it is disrespectful to call your own mother and father by their names, how could you do so with a Prophet of Allah Almighty? But here you see already that they are going astray. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ And mention when you said, Ya Musa, O Musa, لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَى طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ We will have no patience, nor will we endure. طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ One type of food. They are complaining about الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى They are complaining about this and saying, we will not endure one type of food. فَدْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ So call upon your Lord for us. Call upon who? Your Lord. Isn't he their Lord as well? Why did that say, رَبَّنَا Call our Lord. Why are they saying, Oh Musa, call upon your Lord? They are distancing themselves from the Prophet, distancing themselves from even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ud'u lana Rabba, call your Lord for us. Again, this shows you their mindset. This shows you how much they have su' adab ma' Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should have said, Fad'u lana Rabbana, call our Lord for us. Is he not their Lord? Is he not their Rabb? But this is what they said. They said, "O Musa, we will not enjoy one type of food. We were tired of men. We are tired of salwa. We are tired of this sweet honey-like substance that we have been eating, that we don't have to look for, but it descends from the heavens. We are tired of this bird meat that is sweet and delicious that we don't have to hunt for. We are tired of this miraculous water that we are drinking that we don't have to look for. All of that, we don't want it." And the scholars, they mentioned, it is not ta'amin wahid. This is a different type. This is not one thing, it's different things. But they said, we will not endure one type of food. So invoke your Lord for us. To do what? يخرج لنا مما تنبت الأرض من بقلها وقثائها وفومها وعدسها وبصلها. Invoke your Lord for us so that he can bring forth for us from the earth that which grows. They want a farm. Ask Allah to bring forth for us that which grows on the earth. مِمْ بَقَلِهَا, from its vegetation or its green herbs. وَقِثَّائِهَا, from its cucumbers. وَفُومِهَا, from its garlic. We want garlic and cucumber. وَعَدَسِهَا, lentils. وَبَصَلِهَا, onions. They want to make a salad. Allah is giving them all of this, and they are worried about this type of food. What's interesting is, ikhwani fillah, all of this that they are asking is not even the type of food that is considered a food that you give to esteemed guests. All of you can appreciate, if you were to be invited to a home, to a dinner, and they bring you onions and garlic and cucumbers and lentils, and vegetables, some vegetables, and that's it. You'd assume, oh, okay, this is the sides, where is the main dish? You'd accept some chicken, some meat, right? You accept something a bit more lavish, a bit better, like al-man and as-salwa. But they are insisting on this. They are insisting on this. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when the angels came to him, he slaughtered for them a ijl, right? He slaughtered for them a bull. Right, he provided meat for them. Ala ta'kulun, right? And this is what you do. You go to a wedding, there is meat, there is chicken. You go, this is what they do. But here, they are looking for a glorified salad. This is what they're looking for. They are looking for extra work. The food that Allah was giving them, they didn't have to work for. They want to start farming and harvesting. Subhanallah. Look at the answer. One more time. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ, and remember when you said, O Banu Israel, remember when you said to Prophet Musa, O Musa, not even calling him by his title and saying, O Messenger of Allah. And then remember when you said, لَنَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ, we will not endure one type of food. فَادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ, and remember when you said, call upon your Lord, instead of saying our Lord. يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضِ, and you ask him to what do you want? To bring forth for us that which grows from the earth. مِنْ بَقَلِهَا, from it, its vegetation, its herbs. وَقِثَائِهَا, cucumbers. And مِنْ بَقَلِهَا وَقِثَائِهَا وَفُومِهَا, and فُومِهَا, some of the scholars said this was referring to thum, which is garlic. وَعَدَّسِهَا, and lentils, and وَبَصَلِهَا, onions. What was Musa's answer when they started asking for these things and saying, we are tired from al-man and as-salwa? We are tired of this, from this type of food that was coming to us from the sky that Allah blessed us with. Blessed us with. قَالَ أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٍ. This is Musa's reply. Are you going to exchange that which is lower for that which is better? Are you going to exchange that which is better for that which is lower? الَّذِي أَدْنَى. You want onions and garlic, man? When Allah is giving you al-man and as-salwa, what's wrong with you? أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ بِالَّذِي أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ. Then the command came. Do you want this? You want to start farming and working the fields when you could have this blessed food? And the ulama, they say, why? Now let's ask this question. Let's pose this question. Why was al-man as-salwa better than what they asked for? Because of the following reasons. Number one, this came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was a blessing from Allah. This wasn't the same as regular food. This wasn't the same as regular food. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامِ And we shielded you and sheltered you with clouds, specifically for you, to protect you from the elements and the heat of the sun. وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى And we sent down upon you al-man and as-salwa. So this was something that came from Allah with all of its blessings and all of its goodness. And now you want to start working the fields? So number one, it came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, there is no work involved. There's no ta'ab. You won't get tired. You didn't have to hunt. You didn't have to work the fields. You didn't have to farm. Eat and enjoy. The third reason is, there was no doubt in its halalness. The fact that it was lawful, it came directly to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no doubt. As for the stuff they're asking, once you start farming, and your friend is farming here, and you're doing it here, maybe you took some of his crops, which becomes haram for you. He took some of your crop, which becomes halal, haram for him. There is room for it to be doubtful, whereas what Allah is giving you is blessed, it is better, and you didn't even have to work for it. This is what the ulama mentioned. Not to mention that it was tasty and sweet. طيب. أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ Would you exchange that which is better for that which is lower? This was Musa's response. إِهْبِطُوا مِصْرًا Go to any city. This stuff that you're asking for isn't special. إِهْبِطُوا مِصْرًا Go to any city. فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ For indeed you will find that which you have asked for. وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ Because of the many crimes they have committed, including not being grateful for الْمَنْ وَالسَّلْوَى, ضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ They were covered. ضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ الذِّلَّةُ Humiliation. وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ And poverty. Poverty and humiliation. وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ And they drew on themselves the anger of Allah, the wrath of Allah. They went back with the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. In Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah says, غير المغضوب عليهم. The dua that we say, O Allah, keep us on the straight path, not upon the path of those who deserved your anger. That's what we always say. غير المغضوب عليهم. This is it. Here you see the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many things have happened. You've been saved from Fir'aun. You saw the sea split open. Allah did that for you. You started worshipping a cow. Allah accepted your repentance. You started saying, Arina Allah Jahra, show us Allah. You were then again forgiven. You were told to enter into the city. You refused. And you were told to wander the earth as a punishment. Yet you were given the clouds that shade you and food that came to you without working for it. You were ungrateful. Over and over again, you see the sign of their ungratefulness and how they are not showing gratitude to the one who deserves Allah Almighty. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, because of the many crimes you have committed, وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةِ They were covered with ذِلَّةِ أي ذُلْ humiliation, وَالْمَسْكَنَةِ and misery and poverty, وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ And they left with the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why all of this? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ This is because كانوا يكفرون بآيات الله. They used to disbelieve in the signs of Allah. كانوا يكفرون بآيات الله. Is that all they did? No. ويقتلون النبيين بغير الحق. And they would kill the prophets wrongfully. ذلك بما عصوا. All of that was because they disobeyed. وكانوا يعتدون. And they used to transgress the bounds. So, here you will understand, إخواني وأخواتي في الله. What really happened? Why were they cursed? Why did Allah's wrath was upon them? Why were they punished? Why all of this? Because of their many, many crimes. And did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipe them off the earth? No. Allah gave them many chances. Allah forgave them and forgave them and forgave them. Yet every time something good happens, they are seeing these miracles. They are seeing these miracles. They saw the sleeves split open like two mountains, كَالطَّوْدِ الْعَظِيمِ like Allah said in Surah Al-Shu'ara. They saw Musa defeat the magicians. They saw the nine signs of Musa alayhi salam. They saw all of these miracles. Yet they constantly are coming with new ways to disbelieve, new ways to be blasphemous, new ways to anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One more time, the ayah. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ And remember, when you said, Ya Musa, O Musa. SubhanAllah. One of the things that you appreciate here, when you see how they are dealing with Prophet Musa, is the how great the Rasulullah's messengers were, the Sahaba, how great they were. They would never be able to call the Prophet, Ya Muhammad. No way they'd be able to speak to him in this manner. But here you have it. And remember when they said to Musa, لَنَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ We will not endure to eat one type of food. فَدْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ So call your Lord for us and invoke to him. يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضِ So that he can bring forth for us that which grows on the earth. مِنْ بَقْلِهَا From its vegetation and its herbs. وَقِثَائِهَا Its cucumbers. وَفُومِهَا Its garlic. وَعَدَسِهَا Its lentils. وَبَصَلِهَا Its onions. And then Musa asked them, قَالَ He said, أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ Are you going to exchange الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٍ That which is better for that which is worse and lower. إِهْبِطُوا مِصْرًا If this is what you want, then إِهْبِطُوا مِصْرًا Go to any city. Some scholars, they say Misr here is referring to Egypt. But the majority of scholars say no, because if it was referring to Egypt, it would be Misrah instead of Misran. إِهْبِطُوا مِصْرًا Go to any city. فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ Indeed, you will find that which you asked for. وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ And as a punishment for many of the things that they have done, ضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ They were covered with الذِّلَّةُ, a humiliation, وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ And misery and poverty, وَبَاءُ بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ And they drew on themselves the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us from His wrath and His anger and make us among those whom Allah is pleased with. Ameen, Ya Rabbi Alameen. Then Allah tells us why. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ They denied the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They denied the signs of Allah. They didn't take heed. They didn't benefit from all of the miracles they were seeing. وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ And they were killing the prophets wrongfully, or they killed the prophets wrongfully. When Allah says بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ wrongfully, killing a prophet wrongfully, does that mean that it is a possibility to kill a prophet rightfully? And the answer is no. But in their minds, they were thinking that they were doing rightfully, and Allah saying, no, you were wrong. And a prophet can never be killed rightfully, right? It's always batil, and it's always بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And there were many prophets that they were killed. Some mentioned 70 prophets, some mentioned more that were killed by the Banu Israel. And it's famously known that they, or it's been narrated that they've killed Yahya and Zakariya, and they tried to kill Prophet Isa as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ And this is one of the greatest forms of kufr, when you actually kill the Prophet, subhanallah. ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ That was because they disobeyed. وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ And they used to transgress the bounds. So this is who the Banu Israel are. And this is how, look at Allah, what He's doing for them, إِخْوَانِي فِي اللَّهِ Allah is saying that when they ask for water, here is water. Do you want food? Here is food. I will shade you with clouds. I will forgive your sins. Right? Earlier, نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ We will forgive your sins. وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Right? So many things. Allah, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ الْغَمَامَ Blessing after blessing. Good after good. And their response is like this. SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast. طيب. Ayah number 62, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Now what's important to remember, إخواني في الله, is that one might now assume, reading of Banu Israel, and the way they're speaking to their prophet, the kind of stuff that they're asking for, the disrespect they are showing, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blasphemous statements, all of this, you would assume that they are the worst of the worst, and there's not a good one among them. Now this following ayah will teach you that not all of the Yehud were bad, not all of the Nasara were bad, but listen to this following verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ As إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Verily those who believe. Those who believe. وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا And those who were the Yahud, the Jews. وَالنَّصَارَى And the Christians. وَالصَّابِئِينَ And the Sabians, or the Sabi'in. مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ Whoever amongst them believes in Allah and in the last day. فلا خوف عليهم, there will be no fear on them, ولا هم يحزنون, nor shall they grieve. So, here Allah mentions four people. Those who, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe. وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا, and those who were the Yahud, or those who are the Jews. وَالنَّصَارَى, the Christians. وَالصَّابِئِينَ, and the Sabians. Four people. Believers, Jews, Christians, and Sabi'in. Four people. All of them, Allah says, مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ, any among them that believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرَ, and the last day, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, there will be no fear on them, وَلَهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, nor will they grieve or be sad. Meaning, they will have no fear of the future because they're going to Jannah, and they will not be worried or grieving of the past because their sins will be forgiven. This is the blessings that Allah has given to those who have faith and believe in the hereafter. Now this ayah, it causes a lot of questions for some people. First, if this is the case, then does that mean Allah mentioned the believers, the Yahud, the Nasara, the Sabi'een, are they all the same? Does that mean you can join any religion you want? Or you can at least join these four religions? Is that what it means here? No, it does not. Because we know the only deen that Allah accepts is al-Islam. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. Whoever takes any other than Islam as a faith, it will not be accepted from him. So how do you understand this verse? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believed from the people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِمُحَمَّدْ. وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا, and those who were the Yahud at the time of Prophet Musa and believed in him. وَالنَّصَارَى, and the Christians or the Nasara that believed in Isa alayhi salam and the prophets that came before. وَالصَّابِئِينَ, and the Sabi'een, we will get to this in a second. Each one in their respective time with their respective prophet, if they believed the prophet and they believed in Allah and in the hereafter, then they will go to Jannah. This question was posed by some of the Sahaba when they heard that if you didn't believe in Prophet Muhammad, you would not be able to go to Jannah. Salman al-Farisi and others were worried because they knew people that were good Muslims that were upon the deen of Prophet Isa and Prophet Musa, but they didn't know of Prophet Muhammad, or they were waiting for him to emerge, but they died before the Prophet was even sent. Or they didn't come to him, or they didn't make it to Medina. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then this ayah was revealed to say, if you didn't come across the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whichever time you lived in, if you believed in your Prophet, and you believed in the hereafter, and you had faith, you're going to Jannah. So the Banu Israel that we are talking about right now, those that are complaining about the food, and among them are good Muslims. During the time of Prophet Isa, his disciples, they were good Muslims. And anyone that was like them, they were also good Muslims. So a believer, this is why Dinul Anbiya Iwahid, the religion of the prophets is one. And whoever follows their respective prophet, now what's interesting, I keep saying prophet, but prophet is not mentioned here. Allah says, if they believe in Allah and the hereafter, so where am I getting the prophet from? Al-Bahr al-Muhit, the Shaykh mentioned, the Mufassir, he mentions that it is impossible for one to know about the hereafter or believe in Allah without a prophet telling him. So although a prophet is not mentioned here, how did we come to believe in the hereafter? Through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So dimnan, you have to, it's included. Although it's not mentioned, it's included. You cannot be a believer without following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe, the believers, وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا, and one of the things that the scholars say is, why are the Yahud called Yahud? That word hadu. لِمَعْلَى سُمِّيَتِ الْيَهُودُ بِيَهُودِ. Why are the Yahud called this? Where does this come from? There are a few opinions. One of them is that because they are, وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا, those who did, those who repented. Because in Allah mentions that when they worshipped the calf, or they worshiped the cow, they repented. And they said, Inna hudna ilayk. Inna hudna ilayk, ay tubna ilayk. Fasummiya billadina hadu aw bil yahud. And then they were called the Yahud, those who repented. That's one opinion. Another one says, no, it comes from the word Yahudha. Yahudha. And Yahudha was the son, the eldest son of Prophet Ya'qub. I remember in my early lesson, I mentioned that the Banu Israel are the descendants of Israel. Israel is Ya'qub. Ya'qub had he had many sons, including Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. His eldest son was known as Yehuda. So they called Yehud because in reference to him, Yehud himself. And there are other opinions as well. In the end of the day, they are called Yehud in the Quran, Al-Yahud wal-Nasara, right? And among the Yehud, they were good believers during the time of Prophet Musa. If those Yehud were alive during the time of Prophet Isa and they believed in Isa, great, then they were Muslims. If the Yehud were alive at the time of Prophet Muhammad and they believed in Prophet Muhammad, then they were Muslims. Meaning what? Meaning that just because you're a Jew or a Christian, it doesn't exclude you from being upon the truth. Once you accept whatever you need to accept, and after the time of Prophet Muhammad, everyone has to accept him. Everyone has to accept him. طيب. والصابئين. So, والنصارى. Who are the Nasara? The Nasara are the Christians. Allah calls them Nasara. A common mistake that is mentioned by many Muslims is calling them Masihiyun. The Masihiyun. Because Allah did not call them Masihiyun. And they are not the followers of the Masih. They are not truly the followers of the Messiah. The Muslims are the followers of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. But Allah calls them Nasara. And why did Allah call them Nasara? Again, where does his name come from? There is a few opinions. Some scholars say it comes from the word Nusr or Ansarullah. Because the Hawariyin, the disciples of Isa alayhi salam, they were his helpers, his protectors, his Ansar, which is where the term Nasara came from. Meaning these were the ones who helped and protected Prophet Isa alayhi salam and were there for him. Other scholars have mentioned that no, it comes from a place, a makan, a city. You must have heard of the name Nazareth, or Jesus of Nazareth. So this was the city, Nasara, and this is where the word Nasara came from, and Allah knows best. So, as for those who believe, or those who were from the Yahud, or those who were from the Christians, or the Sabi'een. Who are the Sabi'een? There are many, many, many opinions on this. The scholars of Tafsir, they have varying opinions on this. But if we look at the state, the word Sabi', from the Arabic language, it means to leave something or to turn away from something. To turn away from something. More specifically, it was used for those who turn away from a religion. This is why the Quraysh used to call Prophet Muhammad, because he turned away from their religion, idolatry, to Islam. They used to call him Sabi, one who turned away. And this is why the famous story of when Umar al-Khattab becomes Muslim, he's told, Aslamat, your sister became Muslim, and then he said to her, Asaba'ti, did you leave our faith? Just to leave something. Saba'a is to leave something. So it means to turn away from one religion and enter another religion, right? So who are the Sabi'een? Some scholars say they are people that used to worship the angels. Others say no, they were a sect within Christianity. Others say no, they were a sect within the Yahud. Others say no, they are their own independent faith and religion. Some say they were people that didn't follow a particular religion, but they were upon the fitrah and they used to worship Allah. Others say they were people that used to worship the stars. There are so many varying opinions. Ibn Qayyim delves quite deep into this in one of his books. And he does mention that the Sabi'een were of two groups. As-Sabi'een al-Hunafa and As-Sabi'een al-Mushrikeen. You had Sabi'een that were upon Tawheed and Sabi'een that were upon Shirk. So what if those that you were saying, they used to either worship angels or they used to worship stars or what have you, they're clearly upon Shirk. This ayah is talking about people that believe in Allah and believe in the hereafter. So it can't be those. So he said this ayah is referring to those among them that were not upon shirk. And Allah knows best who they truly were. But Allah does mention them four times, I believe, in the Quran. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا As for those who believe. وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا And the Yahud. وَالنَّصَارَى And the Christians. وَالصَّابِئِينَ And the Sabi'een. And there are actually communities of that people that are upon the Sabi'een still today in Iraq. You will find them in Iraq and in Iran, I believe. So it's not like they are extinct. They still exist. مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ And the last day. فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا استغفر الله العظيم. And they do good deeds. These are the conditions. Believe in Allah, believe in the hereafter, and do good deeds. What about believing in the Prophet? It is included automatically. Because you can't believe in Allah, you can't believe in the hereafter, nor can you do good deeds unless a Prophet tells you, so you must believe in the Prophet. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ They will have their reward in the رَبِّهِمْ from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ And there will be no fear upon them. وَلَهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ Nor will they be grieving or sad. SubhanAllah, may Allah make us among those. I want to highlight something here, and that is that there are certain people that call towards what is known as التعدديّة الدينية. التعدديّة الدينية, or what is known as religious pluralism, right? Meaning that if you're a Christian, I'm a Muslim, you're Jewish, you're Hindu, you're Buddhist, and everything is fine. Every religion will find its own way to God. It's correct. It's okay. This is a call that you have today, or some people will make that a pool of religions smaller, and they will say the Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, it's all good. It's all good. We're all Abrahamic faiths. We are all drinking from the same cup. Let's create a melting pot. It's okay. Let's take the good from this one and the good from that one. All of this is against the foundations of our religion. Our religion is based upon what is known as religious exclusivism, meaning what? There is only one way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're not the only faith that says this. I mean, the Christian church will say that the only way to salvation is through the church, right? So the point is, there's only one way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is Islam. Sirat al-mustaqim, one correct path. This is a very important principle. Al-haq wahid la yata'addad. Truth is one, and it doesn't, if you don't have multiple ways to the truth, truth is one. The messages of the prophets, you have to follow them. You have to believe in all of the prophets. The haq is one. So this verse is not saying you can be a Yahudi or a Nasrani or a Sabi or no. You have to be a believer. You have to be a believer and you have to follow the prophets. This verse is talking about each one of them in their own, the Yahud during the time of Prophet Musa, they were the Muslims. And among them, there were some that were committing all these crimes you've spoken about, right? Those that were saying the blasphemous statements, were among them were believers. They are waladina hadu. One Nasara, didn't the Prophet Isa have followers that were good and believers in him? Yes. Well, if they believe and in the hereafter and do good, they're going to Jannah. The Sabi'een that were upon Tawheed and were upon the Hanifiyyah, the correct way, if they die having done good deeds and believing Allah and hereafter, they also go to Jannah. But today, everyone has to follow the correct religion. They have to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is where salvation lies. And this is why it's important to call to Islam. This is why it's important to spread Islam, because that's the true religion, ikhwani fillah. Allah says in the Quran, inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ Whoever seeks for another religion, Allah will not accept it from that person. The Prophet said in the Hadith, وَاللَّهِ لَا يَسْمَعُ بِيَهُودِيٌّ وَلَا نَصْرَانِيٌّ ثُمَّ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ أَكَامِ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ If a Yahud or a Nasrani hears of me and then disregards me, they will be from the people of the hellfire and disbelieves in me. You have to believe in the final message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Which is why now the normalization of like, you can be any faith you want. This is a problem. No, there is only one haq, and we need to call towards it. So it's very important we appreciate that. This concept of interfaith dialogue. Now, interfaith dialogue, maybe it has its space. People can have conversations about certain things in an academic way. That's fine. But if this then turns into, for example, calling towards a mixture of the faiths, this is a problem. This is not what Islam stands for. We can't call for a mixture between Christianity and Judaism and Islam. The same way the Christians won't accept that, the Muslims won't accept that. And there are certain people that call towards that, and this is falsehood. This should not be done. Because Islam is Islam, and Islam is the right religion. Right? And salvation, you will find it through Islam. You'll find it through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. This is why the people that were upon Nasraniyah or Yahudiyah, when they met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had to believe in him, and some did. And they found salvation. And those who disbelieved, they became the disbelievers. So the call towards the combination of these faiths, the what is known as pluralism, this is something that is a call that is based upon falsehood and that we should not accept. And there is an ayah that disproves all of this. Well, we mentioned many ayats. Allah only accepts Islam. There is if anything in Islam Allah does not accept. It is the one true faith, the final message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We mentioned the hadith of the Prophet. But also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reason he sent Prophet Muhammad is لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, to take you out from ظُلُمَات, many darknesses. Many darknesses. Right? Because the path to misguidance is not one path. There are many paths. إِلَى النُّورِ, to the one light. To the one light. So, the path of darknesses are many ظُلُمَات. Allah uses the plural form. Many darknesses. إِلَى النُّورِ, to the one light. Allah says in another verse, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. And indeed, this is my one path, the correct way, the straight path, مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, follow it. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلُ, and do not follow the many other roads that will lead to getting you astray, and they will lead to misguidance. This is the haqq, ikhwani fillah. Deenu wahid. Deenu al-anbiya wahid. The deen is one. The correct way is one. And this is something we must accept as believers. I'm going to conclude my lesson here. So the ayah is not talking about that the Yahud and the Nasar and the Sabin and the everyone, they can believe whatever they want. No, what you have to believe is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the six pillars of faith. This is the true way of salvation for anyone that was there after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But these four groups are referring to in their own time, in their respective times, the time of Prophet Isa, the believers were the followers of Isa, the time of Prophet Musa, the believers were the followers of Musa. And that's how you get it. I'm going to conclude my lesson, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Hada wa akhru da'wana. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.